Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. I'm Daniel, this is Gary, and we are starting a new book of the Bible, and it is it's sort of a long one, but there's like
a lot in there,
there's
right?
A ton of stuff in it. Yeah. We say that all the time because every book has a ton of stuff in it. We are going all the way back into the early stages, the early parts of the Old Testament, and we're going to do
Book number five. Yeah, Deuteronomy.
All right.
Yeah, it's always good doing it. You always get excited, don't you? Starting a brand new book. All right, so first question people usually has, what is the meaning of Deuteronomy?
Yeah. And it's interesting, fun fact, because we love these fun facts, is many of the names of the books of the Old Testament actually come from the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. They don't use the Hebrew names. They use the Greek names, and Deuteronomy is from a compound Greek word. Deuteros is second. Nomos is law. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the Mosaic law.
Right. So this is the second time that the law is given, and the first time that these sets of Jews have heard it too.
Yeah. That's really important, especially from a timeline standpoint.
Yeah. So the first time it was given was when the nation of Israel fled from Egypt, right? Time of Moses in there. But because of their sin, God said, no, you got to wander around the desert for 40 years until everybody died. There was at least three people who didn't die.
Yeah.
Moses, Joshua, and Caleb.
So it was the military-aged men who had to die. They were the ones who
should have led
the people in. And one of the things that we'll read in here is God said, listen, the babies, the people that you thought would die if you went into the land, they're the ones who are actually going to go into the land. You're not going to go in. So over 600,000 men aged 20 and older had to die over this 40-year period. And so, yeah, these are the children.
Right.
Some of whom were born during the wandering. Some of whom were actually born beforehand. They were younger than 20 years old. They were the babies, you know, the children. So they were at Mount Sinai. Maybe they had heard some of this stuff, but they weren't paying attention, right? You know, they were not the adults.
Right. So this law, again, was given to the nation of Israel that would actually enter the promised land, which is cool. So this book was written by Moses around 1400 BC.
Yeah.
Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and they're referred to as a group, the Pentateuch. It's got to be five.
Exactly. Another Greek word.
That's a guess. and Deuteronomy takes place on the plains of Moab, probably a couple weeks before they're actually entering into Canaan.
I would think so. You know, obviously he wrote it later, but this is, you know, Moses, we'll find out, did not go into the land of Canaan, didn't go into Israel.
Right.
So he had to write this shortly before his death. Right. This was like the last, almost like you can, and you'll hear him talking to them, almost like his last will and testament. Right. These are the final words of Moses to the nation of Israel before they go in without him.
Right.
It's a really an important thing in Old Testament history.
Yeah. All right. So you always talk about fun facts. Give us a couple fun facts of what's in Deuteronomy.
Okay. So we have Deuteronomy is sort of important in the New Testament. Okay. So when Satan tempts Jesus,
right?
Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Like exclusively.
Like only?
Yeah. Only. Wow. He quotes from Deuteronomy.
Cool.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Is a really short verse. It says, "Hear, O Israel, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," right? This is repeated even today in synagogues and temples and everything. The Orthodox Jews, this is called the Shema, because the first word in Hebrew, hear, listen, is the command, Shema. And so it's called the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Six words in Hebrew. And they repeat it constantly. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, or is one Lord. Yep. So that's really important. It's in Deuteronomy that we will find the curses and the blessings. If you obey me, this is what I will do. If you disobey me, this is what I will do. And we see those, basically the prophets for the rest of the Old Testament, keep picking up on those things over and over and over, including the exile, right? I will take you, I brought you into this land, I can take you out of this land. But then the promise, I will bring you back to this land. Right. Once I take you out, by the way, I am taking you out of the land because you will disobey me, but I will also bring you back in chapter 30, which is huge. It's the fulfillment of one piece of the Abrahamic covenant.
Okay, so that's not in Genesis, but it's in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, so Genesis 15 actually lays out the borders. I will give you the land of these borders. Yeah. Israel's never owned all that.
Right.
So Deuteronomy, God comes back and says, after you disobey me and after I kick you out, I will bring you back and I will fulfill what I promised to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 15.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, we find the death of Moses. So, all right, yeah, so it's really a ton of stuff in here.
Yeah, so we're going to cover chapters 1 through 3, and there's a little bit of history lesson first that we go into.
Yeah.
But in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, really give us the geographic location and the chronological setting. So we are basically 40 years after the Exodus,
mm-hmm.
and the generation that you had said, that generation has died off, and now Moses is close to death too. And by the way, God's name is going to appear like around 220 times in here. So yeah, it's
big deal.
It's God, 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 God. Yep. Yeah, and God tells Moses to take the people and go into the promised land. Now, God had previously told him that the land was theirs, but this time it's go occupy it.
Which is
awesome.
Now Moses won't do that, and we'll hear about that.
Yeah.
But it's time. Basically, it's I've been leading you around the wilderness for all this time. It's time. It's go time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, one of my favorite. I love reading this in chapter 1, verse 2. There's certain things in this account that you're like, yeah, Moses is an old crotchety old man type thing, and he doesn't care. So he's writing certain things, and I told you guys this, and you did this, and I did this, or whatever. And he starts out verse 2. It's ordinarily an 11-day journey.
Yeah.
From Horeb, which is another name for Sinai, to Kadesh Barnea by the way of Mount Seir. However, it was not until the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year.
Right. So the 40 years of wandering could have taken 11 days.
It was supposed to be 11 days, and you guys screwed up, and now we've done this for the past 40 years.
But, yeah, they did a lot. So Moses gives some of the history on how they got there. You know, he was a leader. He was actually leading too much. So he selected some practical men to help him lead, other men to do administration. He also selected judges. They were added and they were tasked that they had to be non-discriminatory.
Yeah.
And if the judges couldn't decide a case, that's when they brought it to Moses.
That goes back to Exodus chapter 18, his father-in-law, take your father-in-law to work day.
Yeah, right.
He's like, what are you doing? You can't do this by yourself.
Yeah.
So.
And Moses goes all the way back when they first got to the promised land. They selected 12 scouts, and this was one scout from each tribe, and they needed to go in, sneak into the promised land, and let us know what's there.
Yep.
So these scouts went in, they scouted out the new land. There were people there. They reported back, oh, the land is great, milk and honey, blah, blah, blah. But then they said, it's already occupied.
Yeah.
And the people were huge and the cities were big.
Yeah.
And the Israelites got scared.
Yep.
And they're like, there's no way. Why did God bring us all this way?
Yeah.
And we can't even go into this land.
So that's Numbers 13 and 14. And that piece right there, we can't defeat these people, is going to be a major theme, actually, in these next couple of chapters here in Deuteronomy.
Right. So God is angry. And that's when he said, not a single person of this evil generation will see the good land that I promised you.
Mm-hmm.
I
find it interesting that phrase, this evil generation, Jesus uses that in the Gospels. Right. So there's another connection there.
The people then tried to fight the people of the land.
Yeah.
Right? God's mad at us. Oh, we're scared.
Sorry. We're sorry.
We should show him by going in and defeating these people. That didn't work either.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sort of like, you've got your young child, right?
Yep.
And you tell your child what to do. And he says, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, fine. Then I'm going to spank you or put you in the corner or whatever the punishment is, right? No, I'll do it now. It's too late, buddy. It's too late. We're not doing right. this now. We're doing it on my time or not at all. Yep. And that's exactly what, it's exactly what they did.
In chapter 2, so the nation of Israel continued their walk for a long time, 38 years. towards the end.
You've circled this mountain long enough.
But what's cool, like in Genesis, Exodus, you get what they did every day for 38 years. This was, it took 38 years. so we have a summary there. But towards the end, God told them to walk in the land of Edom. And God told them that they needed to offer the people that they would pay for anything they consumed. Because you got to remember, it's a couple million people. That are walking through here, they're gonna use some, they're gonna eat some things.
And I mean, it's the right thing to do, but it's also their relatives because Edom comes from the family of Esau, Israel comes from the family of Jacob. These are distant cousins,
right?
And so, it's like treat people right, but they are family. So at least.
Right. God reminded him that he has provided everything for the last 38 years.
Yeah.
Manna, birds for meat, water. And after Edom, they walked through Moab, and they were told not to harass them because this was Lot's descendants.
Yeah, still family, yep. right?
And then the same things went for the Ammonites. Mm-hmm. And God promised to clear them out before Israel. And Moses told the Amorite leaders, he made the same deal. Look, we'll pay for anything that's consumed. And instead of agreeing, the Ammonites attacked the Israelites.
Yeah.
And God protected Israel.
Yeah, which is interesting because these were some of the people, and we'll hear about Rephaites and other people that are these giants. Okay,
right.
These are the people that 40 years ago,
yeah.
the spies are like, the cities are too big. We can't beat them. And God's like, well, I said I was going to take care of them for you. And the second generation actually gets to see him do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they defeated the Ammonites completely.
Yeah.
Yep. Whoa.
Yep.
And then in chapter 3, they faced Og. And the Bashan of North Canaan in present-day Syria. So Og was under God's divine judgment, and the Israelites destroyed 60 cities. And I think these are some of these cities that you're talking about.
Yeah.
These were the same ones that the spies that Moses had sent in. Israel completely destroyed Og, and not a man, woman, or child was left. Moses doesn't say how big the people are, but there's a phrase in there. He did say that Og's bed was 13 and a half feet long and 6.5 feet wide.
Yeah. So you read through the Bible, and if you skip over this stuff, if you just think through the Bible, it's like, how many giants are in the Bible? Well, there's Goliath, and I think he had some brothers, right?
Yeah.
The concept of giants actually comes all the way through. We've got before the flood, and again, we have after the flood. You have Og, you have these Rephaites, you have these Anakim, you have all of these others. The giants were a continual problem, right? But they were pockets here and there, right? It wasn't like everybody, but there were these pockets. And you mentioned that they were under God's divine judgment. And without getting into all of the details about it, and we can talk, if you're interested, but without getting into all of the details, one of the biggest arguments that people have against God and Israel and whatever is that there's just all this genocide and God's wiping all this stuff out, all these people out. The problem is that it's not everybody. There are certain people groups that have been under God's divine judgment for so long, and God actually gave them
many chances, not just
decades, but sometimes centuries. Yeah. To repent or whatever, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't leave, and God said, "This is Israel's land. I'm giving it to them. So you either leave or you're going to get wiped out." And it was just these small strongholds, right? And even when they went into the land, Joshua only had 7 strongholds that he had to break.
Right.
It wasn't everybody. So it wasn't like God is this genocidal maniac and Israel's just wiping people out left and right. God gave centuries of grace for these people. And, they knew Israel was coming and they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn. So I think we have to keep that into consideration, along with the whole thing about giants, and so there's some demonism going there, and there's a lot of other stuff going on that's more than just
The giants were never on God's side.
Ever. Right. Yeah, it's always, every time you see giants show up in Scripture, it's always against God and Israel, or God and God's people. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's this in mythology, or, you know, fairy tales, whatever. Well, there's always these friendly giants. Yeah. In the Bible, there's never friendly giants. They're always bad.
So there's a land called Transjordan that you're going to come upon. This is just the land to the east of the Jordan River.
Yeah.
The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh took the land to settle an agreement that they had. And it was basically, hey, you guys helped us fight over here. We're going to stay here in this land. But when time comes for you actually to go into Canaan, we'll go in with you and help.
Yeah.
And then we'll leave at the end.
That actually becomes a big thing in the book of Joshua when they're going over. It's like, you guys promised, Judah, you better fulfill. We're going. We're coming. Yeah, we're coming. Right. We'll help. We'll, you know, before we go back home, you know. So it's funny, but this is where that starts. Yeah.
Yeah. God tells them, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God will personally fight for you.
Yeah.
Moses again asked God, hey, can I go in the promised land?
Yeah.
And God was turned down again by God was angry at Moses.
Yeah.
And he did tell Moses, go to this high land. And once you're there, you have a 360 view all around. Yep. And he could actually see into the promised land. But that was...
Yep. He actually got to look in. Which, I mean, sort of, after leading people for 40 years...
Yeah, with one goal.
Get to the promised land. There, you know, out of Egypt. I mean, he had talked with God on Sinai, and that's really the thing. And I think that's really the biggest thing, is that because of Moses' sin, he had a very specific sin that he committed that God said that is the thing that keeps you out. But he was so close to God; it's the higher standard. He had talked with God. He literally was God's spokesman to Israel.
Right.
And so when he blew it, which he did in a big way, it was in that role. And God said, there are consequences for that.
Right. He was also told to commission Joshua to take his place.
Yeah.
Right. And we'll see that too. And that's our history lesson for today.
Yeah. Yeah, moving forward now, it's all about the second giving of the law. It's the covenant with God and Israel and all this stuff before. He's basically, because of this, where he said, can I please go in? And God says, no. Moses takes basically the rest of the book and says, all right, I need to prep you guys to go in because I'm not coming with you. So please, 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 here's my last will and testament. Here are my final words to you.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, a lot of stuff, and we covered it even tonight, you know, in this week we're covering a lot of stuff in this video, but there's a lot more to come in Deuteronomy. Really big deal. So take your time with it. Read through it carefully, especially if you haven't been in Deuteronomy for some time. This is going to be fun. Yeah. There's really some good stuff in here.
Definitely.
So we'll pick up here next time in chapter 4, and we'll just pick up with some of Moses' last words that he gave to the people of Israel. See you then.